Nice. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Good, thanks. Very well. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise.
Amen.
Praise God. Is worthy to be praised. Amen. He's a faithful God.
Amen.
And we're grateful tonight to be back in our own house.
Amen.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
It's good to go away, but it's always good to come back home.
Yes, it
yes.
is.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know who wrote The Wizard of Oz, but I do find that even in some things that are out in the world, that there is an anointing that God will still release. Amen? Because, like, for example, God has, the Bible is filled with examples of God using people who didn't even believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As instruments. Mm-hmm. Instruments of judgment, instruments of wisdom, right?
Yeah, right.
Amen.
That's why we can't be so fast to discount somebody, oh, they're not saved. God can still put a word in their mouth.
That's right.
Amen. And I don't know who wrote Wizard of Oz, but there's an anointing on there's no place like home. Amen. I mean, there's just truth to that. Amen. And Dorothy said that there's no place like home, kept saying it over and over. But there's some truth to that. There is no place like home. And in fact, if you think about this Christian journey of ours, that's what it's all about. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Our spirit's longing for home.
Amen.
Right? To where we can be with the Father for eternity.
Yes.
So really, that's what it's all about. We're all longing for home.
Mm-hmm.
But we know. Yeah, I might have a nice house down here, might have some nice things down here, but you know what? There's no place like
home.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm glad to be home.
Yes.
This home.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And looking forward, amen, even more to the home that Jesus said, amen, in my Father's house. There are many mansions. Amen.
Amen.
And one of them has my name on it.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Yours too, right?
Right.
Amen.
Written in the Lamb, Book of Life. Praise God for our names being there. And praise God for being here tonight. We're going to continue studying Moses. Amen. I think we're going to learn so much from Moses. Someone whom God, the Bible says, talked to face to face.
Yes.
Glory to God. Just that whole picture. Right, that God talked to Moses face to face, it says, as a man talks to his friend.
Yeah.
Amen. You have that kind of relationship with God, I want to know and watch what you've done so I can get the same kind of relationship.
Amen.
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 And it's available to us because anyway, God lives on the inside of us. But we can squander that privilege. Amen. But we learn certain things from Moses and we can strengthen that relationship even more. Amen.
Yes.
Right. We're also talking about leadership as well. And we're all called to be leaders in our own way. And Moses certainly is one of the great leaders in the Bible. Amen.
Right.
So tonight we're going to be looking at Moses. Our reading tonight is from Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 31. And we're going to read it tonight. Amen. And then we do have some questions from our lesson that I believe will help us get the most out of it. Amen. But most of all, we're going to get the most out of it. We need God's help.
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray tonight for the leading of the Holy Spirit to lead us into this lesson and reveal to us what we need to learn. Amen. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us home. That there truly is no place like home. And we thank you, Lord, that you have a heavenly home prepared for your people.
Yes.
And Father God, at the appointed time, Lord, we know that, God, that we will spend all eternity with you. And Father, until then, we ask you to continue the work that you have begun in us.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ. And do it, O Father, through your word and through your spirit. Even tonight, O God, teach us the things we need to know. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear. And Father, bless our hearts to receive your precious word in the name of Jesus. Increase our faith, O God. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself unto us tonight, sharing with us your heart. And Father, we give you praise and glory and honor for drawing us closer unto you in
yes,
Jesus'
Father.
Great name. Father, I ask you now to look upon me and bless me, O God, with your spirit, even the more in the name of Jesus. Word my mouth. Father, you said, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And so, Father God, I come in obedience to do just that, that every word that is spoken will be yours, not mine, and all the glory will be given unto you. Father, we give you praise and thanks by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's look right into the scripture. Amen. I really, really love this account. Amen. In Exodus chapter 14. The people have, amen, departed Egypt, right? And then they look up, and guess who's on their tail? Pharaoh and his army, amen? And so that's where we pick up in Exodus chapter 14, verse number 10. They've just gotten released, amen? They've just been let go from Egypt. And now Pharaoh is coming after them because he's changed his mind. So let's look at verse 10 and read through. It says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it hath been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen.
Amen.
What a story. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Well, I start talking because we might not get to one question. So let's go to the background. Amen. Our background says, in the midst of the joy of newfound faith as a college student, I also felt some fear about the challenges I might face. I used to lay awake afraid that God might call me to do something I didn't want to do, like be a pastor or a missionary to Africa. Years and years ago, we had an article in our newsletter that said, it was entitled, Don't Send Me to Africa. And the reason behind that was because this kind of thought is in so many minds of Christians, right? They don't want to totally surrender to God because God might send them to Africa.
Amen.
You know, and Africa is used as a euphemism for a faraway place, right? Don't send me to Africa. So you don't want to totally surrender to God because he may send you to Africa. It's just funny to hear him say that, amen? You know, we all have our Africa. Some of our Africa is just over in Camden.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Send me to Princeton, but don't send me to Camden.
Right.
Africa is closer than you think. Amen. Africa is just a place you don't want to go.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go. Unsure whether I'd like the way my family and friends might respond to me as a pastor, I also wondered if I had the skills or was up to the task at all. In the years that followed, sure enough, I was called to missions. Not to Africa, but to college students in the U.S. And eventually, despite my resistance, there was a call to the pastorate as well. Along the way, serving God in these roles became my heart's desire. However, just as I suspected early on, there have been great challenges. One of the greatest has been to continue to believe and obey when events do not go according to my expectations and God does not bring about events in the way I had hoped he would. All right, so let's think about, there's a question for group discussion. And it says, share a time when you faced a challenge that ended up being even worse than you expected. What happened and how did you handle it? Amen. And that may be tough, especially since you never had a chance to really meditate on these questions. But a time when you face a challenge, we all face challenges, right? At times we face medical challenges and physical challenges and spiritual challenges and relationship challenges. Amen. We face all kinds of things, right? But when things get tough, here's the thing. Maybe we make it simple, right? What are our choices? Really? Right? I mean, what are our choices in life? Whether things, no matter what, but when they're hard, what are we going to do? We're either going to what? We're either going to
fold up.
Okay, we may fold up or quit.
Quit.
Mm-hmm. Right? Or we're going to what?
Move on. Move forward.
We're going to keep going, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not a whole lot. I mean, they play themselves out in different ways. But in the end, we either quit or we keep going. There's no in-between. There's no in-between spot, really. Because even if you're halfway going, you quit. Because if you're going, guess what? You have to go all in. Right? So when we have challenges, you know, the truth of the matter is we either have to determine within ourselves either we're going to quit or we're going to keep going. Because those are the choices before us.
Right?
And we can make it more complicated than that if we want to, but in the end, you think about all the things in your life. Somebody who says, you know what, I need to get more education. Well, you're either going to school or you're not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, this is not magic. It's not
right. Deep,
right? I want to get closer to God. Well, you're either going to walk with him That's why Jesus, the disciples, remember when he told that hard saying in John 6, you got to drink my blood and eat my flesh? And some of those disciples said, this is a hard saying, and they walked away. And Jesus looked at the other, you going to walk away too? Right, because either you're coming with me,
right, or you're not.
And what did God say in, who was it, Joshua? If it seems hard for you to serve the Lord,
right,
choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether God's will your father serve, or you're going to serve, well, after me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So we either got to make a choice that we're going to go on with God or not, right? Believe him or not, trust in him or not, have faith or not. Isn't that simple?
It is.
Christian, you said yes? It's a choice. We just got to make a choice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I got it.
Go ahead.
I think this goes with the topic because I was in like math class, right? And we were working in pairs, and she was pairing each other up, like who you were next to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was next to my friend. And I thought she was going to pair me and him up, but then she didn't. She paired me with some other kid, and me and that other kid are not really friends. And then she paired us up with him, and I had a choice to be defiant and not do the assignment and just be all shut down, or I could do it and be obedient, and I did, and we ended up becoming friends.
Oh, look at that.
You chose to obey. You got blessed.
And you hear the choice. Mm-hmm. I could be defiant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or I could obey. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the story of my life? I walk with God.
Right.
We can be our choice. You can be defiant
or not.
Or you can obey.
Right.
Amen. And that's what it's about. Amen. And the thing is, the outcomes are so totally different. And sometimes we can defy God, and it seems like we get away with it. But it's only temporary. It's only temporary. God's a patient God. But he's also a God of justice. And justice will prevail. Right? It's up to us. But when things are hard, I mean, you know, yeah, how do you handle it? One thing is, amen, being obedient to what God says is a good way to handle stuff when it's hard. Even when it's hard, Lord, I'm still going to do it. Right?
Yeah.
I'm still going to do it. Personal reflection says, when have you been tempted to quit in the face of an overwhelming challenge? How did God encourage and support you? I mean, you don't have to get specific necessarily, but just think about the times you attempted to quit at whatever it was. How did God encourage you? What are some of the ways that God may have encouraged you? Or even just think about how he would encourage someone who is thinking about quitting.
God reminded me of who he was.
Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
He reminded me that he was a father, a loving father, compassionate and understanding.
No, okay, but I'm asking, but how did he do it?
Okay.
Like, in other words, was it, you know, a still small voice? Was it because there was a story in the Bible that he said, that's how I am with you? You know what I'm saying?
He spoke to me and he said, that's
how you are. So the still small voice.
Still small voice.
Okay. Yeah, because that's one thing, because God sometimes speaks directly to us in that still small voice. But there are times we can read his word. And he reveals himself in the scripture and makes us see the connection and says, I'll do the same for you. You know what I mean? We'll see God is faithful. And if he's been faithful to them, he'll be faithful to me, because God's no respecter of persons. You know what I mean? God also, many times, sends people our way. Right? When you feel like giving up. How many times has someone come unto you and said to you, you can't give up now?
Yeah.
Or encourage you. Lift up your head. Right? Strengthens your spirit. God is working behind the scenes. That's why you gotta love God, because he's mindful of us. He knows you're sitting there. He knows you're down. He'll send somebody your way.
Yeah.
You know? He'll reveal you, like you said, in a still small voice. Sometimes God will reveal himself in your circumstances or in nature. You can be sitting outside and get a lesson from a bird.
Yes.
Amen. So God works in so many ways. And we're not going to say, though, as folks like to say, God works in mysterious ways. No, you don't. Can I say this? Just because you don't understand something doesn't make it mysterious.
Right.
Just because you don't know doesn't make it mysterious. Like, for example, when I go in my house and shut the door, you don't know what I'm doing. Doesn't mean I'm doing mysterious things in my house. It just means you don't know what I'm doing. I could be sitting there making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. There's nothing mysterious about that. You just don't know what I'm doing. But that's what we say to God.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what he's doing, we call it mysterious? No.
No.
Amen?
Amen.
No, God works in ways that we don't understand sometimes, in ways we don't know. But here's the other thing. God reveals things unto us. The scriptures say to us, he reveals them to us by his spirit. Right? That's what it says. What is it? First or Second Corinthians chapter 2? Which one is it? Christian, you have your Bible? No, never mind. That's okay. But he reveals things unto us by his spirit. Amen? Amen. God works. Amen. And he's a God who gives us insight and revelation. Let's go to question one. I say, we just read the story, right? This wonderful, magnificent story. It says, imagine you were one of the Israelites who experienced the battle at the Red Sea. So just imagine you were there. Egyptians coming, right? Pillar of cloud comes. Remember all that happened, right?
Yep.
How are you going to tell the story? What are you going to tell? Now, somebody who wasn't there, you were there. What are you going to tell me? I wasn't there. What are you going to tell me? What happened to you last night?
I don't know if Christian was paying attention, but normally when I ask him to describe like he was there and the stories, he really gets into it. So I don't know if he would
okay.
do it. You did it? Okay.
Well, I would say that I was running from the Egyptians because they were trying to come back for me. For us, for the Israelites, and we had to get across the Red Sea, and Moses, and we was all complaining about how we should have stayed with the Egyptians, and then Moses said, be quiet and all that kind of stuff, and then he lifted up the Red Sea, and I was amazed, and then like, oh, I saw, it was all dry, and it was like two walls on the side, like water walls. And like we was walking, and they tried to follow us, but then right when they tried to follow us, like God like took their wheels off the chariot, and then we got to the other side, and then like the wall just fell down and got them, and like no one survived.
That's what happened. Amen. All right, so this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here's the thing. You know, sometimes I see on Discovery Channel, one of those type of channels, they try to explain the mystery of the Red Sea. How could it have happened? And then they'll start talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something the other day where a guy, he tried to recreate, could the wind really blow back the water? And he took this big wind boat and he went to a shallow, you know, area of water somewhere in Florida, I think. And he just had the wind blowing, these two wind boats, just blowing these big fans on the back of the boat. And they're just blowing the water, right? A little shallow water. And they showed how, with enough of that wind, it blew the thing back and it actually made the ground dry. So they said, it really could have happened. I'm thinking, look, I don't need no experiment.
Yeah.
It says it.
It says it happened.
That's it. Settles it. Right? But the thing, if you read the scripture and you say, it says that that east wind, that God caused the east wind. Mm-hmm. Right, let's look at it. Where is it? Mm-hmm. 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. See, so there's a lot of water here, because if it was, now some people talk about how they, how, you know, the Egyptian, how when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan, it was shallow. But no, it wasn't. Because if you see right before that account, it says that the Jordan overflows its banks all the time at this season. So God waited till the banks will overflow. See, God's gonna say, see, I ain't gonna have you years and years later trying to say they went over the shallow part. That's why God did. Sometimes we gotta pay attention to the detail, because God is making sure man can't try to change it and make it into something. So here's the thing. If this is only a little bit of water, first of all, you hear people say that.
Well, it was only a little bit of water by the sea.
Then how they, and now I know you. How you drown hundreds of men and their horses in a little bit of water? It had to be a lot. But here's the other thing. You think God needed all night to blow a little bit of water?
No.
That strong east wind was blowing all night. Amen. Now let's go to question two. How did the Israelites cope with their fears as their former slave master approaches? What happens now? They see the Egyptians are coming, and what do the Israelites immediately begin to do?
Complain.
What? Go ahead.
God is saying smart, getting smart remarks about being
Egypt. Didn't we tell you? Don't you love people who go along with what you say? But then you get there and stuff doesn't quite work out. And now they're going to say, didn't I say? So it's like this. Let's say, I say, come on, let's go get some Chinese food. All right, come on, let's go. I'm down. Mm-hmm. Maybe you even say, I don't know if I want any Chinese food. Come on, man, let's go get some Chinese food. Okay, all right, that's fine, let's go. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Come on, let's go. Then you go get the Chinese food, and the food don't taste good. You go, man, this Chinese food is terrible. You know, I know. Didn't I tell you we shouldn't have come to the Chinese restaurant? It's like, wait a minute, if you felt that strongly about it, you shouldn't. Don't wait till we get, you know, that's Monday morning quarterbacking, right, as they say. So here they are. Didn't we tell you we better off in Egypt? And as you said, they get a little smart. Why you bring us out here? Because there was no graves.
Right.
There's no graves in Egypt. Boy, people could be, you know.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, though. And I don't know if this is part of, it is, it's question five. Let's jump to question five. I think it's related to two. Why is it that for most of us, like the people of Israel, past miracles in our lives don't always generate faith for present dangers? And so you think about it. They saw the 9 or the 10 plagues that God put on Egypt, right? They saw that. So they saw these miracles. And yet they get out there, and Pharaoh and his army are coming. And the first thing they do, and the only thing they do actually, is complain. What do you think leads to complaints? What are the, like, think about it when we complain. What causes us? What are the things that may be going in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit, that causes us to complain? Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest ones. Fear. Fear of whatever it is. Traffic jams, you complain about it because you fear you're going to be late. Or you're going to be inconvenienced. You know, you're going to be stuck in the traffic forever. You know, that's why we say exaggerated things. I'm going to be stuck in this jam forever. You ain't gonna be stuck there forever. But that's what we say, you know, forever. But you know, we feel we're gonna be inconvenient. But fear, I think, a lot of times undergirds complaints that we make. fear. That's why God says, listen, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. And fear actually cancels out faith. That's why fear is dangerous. Fear cancels out faith. You know, you just can't have faith. You remember the unprofitable servant? He gave 5 to 1, 2 talents to the other, 1 to the other. The first 2 doubled what they got. Well done, my good and faithful servant. But the last one said, the first thing he said, well, how come you could, here's your 1. Why? Because I feared. That's the first thing he said. He said, I feared. You're a hard man who reaps where he doesn't sow. And so instead of losing your money, I hid it and now here's it back. But what led him not to do anything? How come he wasn't faithful? Because he was fearful. You can't be both. You can't be fearful and faithful. So fear cancels out our faith. And so that's why God says in Numbers 11:1, I got a lot of favorite scriptures, but that's one of them too. When the people complain, it displeased the Lord. I love that scripture because it's so direct. When the people complain, it displeases the Lord. Why? But think of the other side. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if complaining displeases him, that's because complaining is a lack of faith. Because without faith, you can't please him. So complaining shows God that we have no faith in that particular situation that we're complaining about. No one's saying you don't have any faith whatsoever, right? But in that situation, fear. Mm-hmm. You know something else too? We have, and I think it's in all of us, because animals have it, and I think we have it as a part of our human instinct, this idea that of self-preservation. No one has to teach you that you need to preserve yourself. Yeah. There's an instinct in us, right? Like, you know, but someone right now takes, you know, a heavy object and hurls it at you. There's not anybody got to tell you, duck. There's something on the inside of you, right? Because you want to preserve yourself from getting hit. Something be wrong, somebody just go like this. You know what I mean? They see the thing coming. Self-preservation, right? Fire breaks out, nobody, and you know it. Nobody got to tell you to exit the building. Right? You know, I'm going to preserve myself. So we have this instinct, and that's a good thing because, you know, and scientists call it the, what? What's it called again? Fight or flight? Yeah. Right? That flight, you know, right? That you either, you make a decision, you either want to fight or you want to run. Wow. Animals have it, we have it, you know what I mean? You either want to stand up to something or you want to run. Wow. Because if you're going to stand up to it, it's still self-preservation.
Right.
If you run, it's self-preservation. But we all have that, right? You see a little dog, right? And he keeps coming, you're gonna start wearing back your foot. That's fight. Right? That's fight. You see a big dog, that what are you gonna do? That's fight. But both of them are designed as self-preservation. We have that. Right? And so, like they see these Egyptians coming, they're thinking, you know, about self-preservation, but here's the problem. When you and I don't believe that we can do anything to help ourselves in a situation, it leads us to complain. Because it frustrates that idea that I can fight or fly. When you think I can't do anything, that's why hopelessness is such a terrible thing. Because when you think you can't do anything, it starts to make you mad. We don't like being in a situation where we feel vulnerable and exposed and that we can't fight and we can't flight. I know that's not good English, but you understand what I mean, right? We can't flight. You know what I mean, right? We can't fight, we can't run.
Right.
That makes us frustrated because now we feel vulnerable, exposed, and we think we're going to get hurt. You know what I mean? I think that's why sometimes you think about it. You ever get mad at a driver on the road because he did something or she did something that was like so careless and it put you in danger? Like they just didn't look. They ran through the stop sign. You're glad nothing happened, but you're kind of mad at them. Yeah, and there was nothing you could do because you were just exposed. Not even watching what you're doing. Why does that make us so mad? It put us in danger. And we have this in us. And it's something that's protective of us, of self-preservation.
Yeah.
And I think the Israelites are looking at it and going, we can't even protect ourselves now. Because here they come from this way. Here come the Egyptians from behind us. And in front of us is the Red Sea. There's nothing we can do. We're not strong enough to fight them. And we have no place to run from them. So know what they do? Now they're mad. They're going to take it out on who?
Moses.
Let's look at question 3. It says clearly the people blame both Moses and God for their predicament. Now, if you're Moses, what might you have felt like as the people start asking you all these questions, throwing all these questions at you, and accusing you? How do you feel if you're Moses? Didn't we tell you that we shouldn't have come out of Egypt? Why you brought us out here? There were no graves in Egypt. What are we going to do now, Moses? Felt like a failure? Yeah.
Be a little mad at God because he put him in that situation and he'll be mad at him.
Mm. Yep. God, you told me to leave these people.
Yeah, you got them coming up.
Moses could feel like a scapegoat too. Wasn't my idea. God told me to go tell Pharaoh, let the people go. I didn't come up with that. I'll mind my business with Jethro's sheep. Right?
Yeah.
You could feel like a scapegoat. You could be, you feel like a fool for believing God or mad, right? Because God brought me out here.
Or you could just be disappointed that they had such little faith.
Oh.
At the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be disappointed at them. And here's the thing too, when people are like, and we were talking about this the other day, I guess when we were talking with Patricia on the way home, that, and it takes some time to realize this, as that we as people don't have the power to change other people. You know what I mean? So here they are acting like this, but he's powerless to do anything about it. He can't make them believe. He can't make them have faith. And that could really make you frustrated, you know? So you figure Moses at this point is feeling put upon. He's feeling like a scapegoat. He's feeling powerless. He's feeling disappointed. He may feel foolish. And here he is standing up there. And that's why if you look at this, Moses says to them, you know, it says a very strong thing. Fear ye not, verse 13, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And the Egyptians you see today, you will see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. It's not like he's, woo, giving them a pep talk and, hey, please God, don't worry about it. Hold your peace, stand still, God's going to show you some stuff. But there's something that happens in between that God doesn't allow us the details, but he lets us understand something. Because the very next verse says, and the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying to me? Right? Why he say, why are you crying to me? But Moses must have went crying to him.
Yeah.
So isn't there something as a leader you can say to people, come on, stand up, be strong, don't give up, hang in there. Then after you finish giving your speech, oh Lord, what are we going to do? You don't think leaders do that?
Oh yeah.
You don't think leaders stand up and encourage the people and then go back and cry a river in front of God?
Yeah.
Then you don't know much about leaders. Because of all those things we're talking about, how Moses felt, he still said these things. And he's feeling like a scapegoat, he's feeling betrayed, he's feeling disappointed, he's right, he's got all these things, but he still has to be a leader. And he still has to say to the people, stand firm, be strong, we can do this. And then okay, then he goes back, going, Lord, right? Think about the leader in the household, single mom, father of a family that's struggling financially. He'll sit at the table with the kids, and he knows the mountain of bills that's piling up. Mm-hmm. And yet he sits there and puts on a strong front, right?
Yeah.
Like nothing's the matter, right? Daddy, where are we going on vacation this year? I don't know yet, son, but we're going to go somewhere. And you know you don't even have money to make it to work through by the end of the week. You ain't saying nothing. Kids have no idea because you're a leader. But when they go off to bed, right, and before they wake up, you done been in prayer before and after. Right? That night, and then in the morning before they get up, you back a praying. Lord, what are we going to do to get through this mess? But you don't let the kids see. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what leaders do. You got to stand up to in front of the people you got to lead, and you got to be strong. And then you can go back, and now with God, you just got to be honest before Him. And man, sometimes you just, oh Lord, what are we going to do about this? So apparently Moses did this, amen. He's strong before the people, but he went back to God and he was crying. That doesn't make him a hypocrite. That makes him a leader. Just like that dad, just like that mom, right? Who's making sure. Why? Because they don't want the children, right? And Moses doesn't want the people to be infected with fear and dread, right? And he cries to God. And God says to him, what are you crying to me? Somebody better write this one down and highlight that, how God talked to him, thinking that God's all kind and patient.
That's right.
God is kind and patient, but God also knows how to get to the point. What you crying to me for? Amen? This is what he said. Speak to the children of Israel that they what? Go forward. Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. What's God saying? I know you have trouble beating down your neck. I know that those Egyptians coming upon you are too much for you to handle. I know it looks like an impossible situation because it seems like there's no way out. Go forward. Isn't that some encouragement for us when we find ourselves in those situations? We're not going to be in this precise situation, but you ever feel like things are closing in on you on all sides? What God's saying to you? Go forward. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Go forward. Go forward in me. I know it looks bad. Go forward. Amen?
Amen.
Tell the people, go forward. Now tell the people, go read the scrolls, even though there's no scrolls at this point, amen. But amen, but he said, don't, I'm not telling you go do that. I'm not giving you a seven-step plan. I'm giving you one thing to do.
Mm-hmm. 15 ways to get to your deliverance.
No, God said, I got one, go forward. I like God's better, because it's easier to remember.
Amen.
Somebody got a 15-step plan. I'm sorry, I can't remember 15 steps. That's too much work.
Yeah.
Go forward. And amen, that's what he told them. What kind of dangers we face in our society? We don't have Egyptians coming up on us. We don't have all that stuff. This is question four. Mm-hmm. What kind of problem do we have, though? What kind of attacks are we under?
Poverty, sickness.
Death, what do you say, debts?
Death.
Oh, death. Death, sadness, but debt too, right?
Yeah.
Right? We have money issues and relationship issues and physical issues and spiritual issues. Devil attacking our mind, right?
Yeah.
And one of the challenges of that is that we give in and compromise.
Yeah.
We give in and compromise. Temptation, right? Temptation is a big one. Satan always tempted. Why don't you do this? right? Give him peace of your mind. You think God ever tells you that? Whenever you get that thought, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I'm telling you now, God didn't say that to you.
No.
Give him a piece of your... You think Jesus says that to people? Give him a piece of your mind. There ain't nothing but the devil that says that. That's like telling somebody, tell them all. God ain't going to tell you that. All right, think about this. Look at question number 6. Moses tells the people to stand firm while God tells Moses to have them move on. How is it possible to do both at the same time? How can we stand firm and move on at the same time?
We can stand firm in our belief in what we know to do and then go on and do what we know to do.
Amen. I think when God says stand firm, what's he saying? Stand firm in the faith. Mm-hmm. Be firm in your faith. What's your faith? I believe God. I believe his word. I believe his promise. Don't get shaken off of that. That's what he's saying. Don't be shaky on that. Be firm on that. Right? But here's the thing. If you're firm on that, that means you're standing in faith.
Right.
But faith without works is dead. And so the works is the move on part. Right? Stand on the promise. But faith don't stand still. That's the only thing. True faith don't stand still. You have to stand in faith, but if you're standing in faith, you don't stand still.
Amen.
You then start moving consistent with what you believe. Right?
Right?
Amen. So you can stand firm and move on at the same time. In fact, that's the only way that you live a life of faith. Because standing firm and doing nothing is not faith. Faith without works is dead. Amen. All right, we got, what, 2 more questions? 2 more. Or 2.5, 3.5, 2.5, 2.3. Let's see. I like question 7. It says, while God does the fighting for Israel, Moses is required to raise his staff and stretch out his hand. What insights does this provide for standing firm in spiritual leadership? God's doing the fighting, but Moses is required to raise his staff and stretch out his hand. So what does it say for a leader? Leaders are going to have to do what in the face of trouble? And again, don't think of leaders just as leaders in the church. Think of just every one of us are a leader somewhere in our lives. Some of us multiple places, right? You can be a leader in the home. You can be a leader in a job, on your job. You can be a leader in the community, right? You can be a leader in school. And you can be a leader in church. I mean, there's plenty of places all of us are called, right, to be leaders in some area, right? Either now or in the future. And sometimes you're leaders in multiple places at the same time. So as a leader, when Moses has to stand there, all this stuff is going. People are complaining. Enemies are coming. Obstacles are in front of you. And God says, hold up your rod. Here's something I want you to consider. When Moses met God at the burning bush and he was calling him and said, I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses kept making all these excuses. God said, what's that in your hand? And go back and read this. This is in Exodus chapter 4. What's that in your hand? A rod. What are you talking about? Throw it on the ground. It becomes a serpent. Take it up again by the tail. It becomes a rod again, right? Later on in that same chapter, that's the beginning of chapter 4. At around verse number 20, it says that Moses now is going back to Egypt. And it says, you know, he's taking his donkeys and his family and all these things, right? And it says, and he had the rod of God in his hand. At first, what's that in your hand? A rod. What's a rod? That's one of many. It's a. Right? But now, after God, if he let it go, and then God now, right, touches it, he takes it back up. And now the Bible calls it the rod of God. It wasn't the rod of God before he let it go. Then it became the rod of God. So what's he holding up before the water when God told him, hold up the rod? What's he holding up? The rod of God. You know what I take from that? That he's holding up God's standard, God's, right? He's holding up God in front of the people. So if you're a leader, no matter what, you got to hold up God before the people.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to hold up God before the people. You may not know what to do, but you should know this. I'm going to still hold up God.
Yes.
I'm still going to uphold his standard.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? I'm still going to uphold God before the people. Because you know what? People don't need to see me. They need to see God lifted up.
Amen.
Amen. We gotta continue to raise the standard as leaders, right? We gotta continue to just raise the standard.
Amen.
And if we're holding up God, people don't see you, but they'll see God. And they can be encouraged by that. I love that. Lift up the rod. Why? So that people can see me. So don't come up here preaching you so people can see you. You know, going to do all your theatrics. No, you hold up God so people can see God.
Amen.
They don't need to see you. They need to see your suit.
Uh-oh.
God put me in a $2,000 suit. And your socks don't even match. So what difference does it make? I don't care about your suit. Hold up God.
Amen.
Amen. Real quickly, question number 8. But isn't that something? We got to hold up the standard, amen?
Amen?
Hold up God. As a leader, hold up God. That's our responsibility. Amen. Question 8. Real quickly, we done. Moses referred to himself as God's servant in verse 31. He lived that identity, right, as a servant. Because look, what did he do? Did he know what to do when these Egyptians are coming?
No.
So where did he go?
He went to God.
And then God told him something. And then what did he do? Isn't that a servant? You go to your master, you go to your, right? And you say, what do I do now? Do this. And then what? You do it. Whatever he tells you to do, okay, Israel was delivered as Moses stood firm against the onslaught of the Egyptian army. How might God be requiring you to stand firm in challenges you face? That's something for you to consider, amen? But understand that what he expected of Moses, he expects of us, because we're all leaders, again, in our own way, in different areas of our life. And if you're a leader, God expects you to stand firm and to move on,
amen.
And to hold up his standard, right? Amen.
Amen.
What was this called? Standing firm. That was the lesson, wasn't it? And we have to stand firm in faith, believing God, but understanding that once we stand firm, we're also moving forward.
Amen.
And yeah, the Egyptians are coming and all that. I love the picture that it paints, though, with it says that God's presence went from in front of them and then it went behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And all night, it was a cloud to them. It was a cloud to them. But it was a light to these. I like the way it says that, right? So it was a cloud to them, nothing but darkness all night.
Right.
But here it was fire,
yeah,
that gave them light throughout the night. I just love that picture. How God's going to separate
Jesus
and come between you and the enemy.
Jesus. Amen.
Causing darkness so he can't see you.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says our lives are hidden in Christ. Amen.
Jesus.
Can't see you. And on this side, he lights our pathway. Right? So yeah, we got some challenges, but God is yet for us. Amen? And he doesn't want us standing there crying. Stand firm. Amen? Be a leader. Amen. And know that you're a leader in various ways now, and maybe in some additional ways as you keep walking with God. Amen? But Moses gives us an example of that kind of leadership. Amen? Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Of course it is. All things are possible with God, and all things are possible to them that believe.
Amen.
That's the word right there. Amen? I didn't just make that up. That's the word. Amen?
That's the word.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray tonight. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. And we give him glory, amen, for, amen, for encouraging us. Father, we give you praise and thanks tonight. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the story here of Moses and the people of God at the Red Sea. Father, we thank you, Lord, that just as they are under attack from enemies coming from behind that seem overwhelming and obstacles in front, God, you yet are a deliverer. And Father, let us heed the word of God that we are to fear not, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which we shall see today. And the Egyptians that we've seen today, we shall see them again no more forever. For you will fight for us. We just need to hold our peace. God, we ask you to help us to do that in the name of Jesus. Remind us, oh God, that as Moses, we are called to be leaders in our own right. And Father, you expect us to lift up the standard of God before those that we have been chosen to lead. That, Father, that you may be glorified. And that, Father, that we may see your divine power at work in our lives. Father God, we thank you right now that as each one of us is standing, believing on you, help us to stand firm, oh God. Help us to stand in faith. And Father, help us to be obedient as you give us instructions and directions and requirements that we must carry out if we are to see the deliverance of God in our lives. Remind us, God, that we are active participants in our deliverance. We are not bystanders. We must be involved. And Father God, we thank you right now. Hallelujah, for giving us what we need, every tool that we need, oh God, to walk by faith and not by sight, that we may see the promises of God come to pass in our lives, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks, God, for this inspiring story. Father, we're praying that the Holy Spirit will continue to speak unto us concerning the scriptures that we have read, and Father, that you'll continue to fill our hearts with wisdom, and Father, we receive it in advance by faith, and we bless you and lift you up for it in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for allowing us to come out tonight and to hear your word. And Father, we're praying now that as we leave, that you'll guide us home safely to our homes tonight and continue to bless us with your presence. Father, we love you, and we truly are just so grateful that we are your people and you are our God. And our soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Father, we boast in you tonight, for you're worthy. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.